Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issues of the day. As we talk about the issues, we invite you to call and express your opinions, your thoughts, as some have called it, adding your two cents worth. Be delighted to have you join in the discussion today. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call will go directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about today election fraud 2020, question mark. Can we trust the elections this year? Do we see indicators today that would indicate that we're going to have some problems in the state of Florida, some of the counties, and across the nation? I believe we're seeing the indicators of that already. When the United States Post Office has just announced, let me read you the article. U.S. Post Office Service makes announcement on ballot mail-in ahead of the midterm elections. U.S. Postal Service confirmed that it has created a division that will oversee all mail-in ballots in future elections. Adriana Marshall, executive director of the newly elected Election and Governmental Mail Services, said that it will oversee all election mail strike team in locations and communities to deal with possible problems. We're fully committed to secure and timely deliver all of the nation's election mail, she told the media outlet on July the 27th. Several months ago, the Biden administration requested $5 billion to support the United States Postal Service mail-in voting operations. Then the article further states, the former President Donald J. Trump said some Republicans have said mail-in ballots invite fraud and are totally unreliable. The 2005 former Democratic President Jimmy Carter and former White House Chief of Staff James Baker released a report that found mail-in and absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud in the nation, while adding that vote buying schemes are far more difficult to detect when citizens vote by mail, end quote. So we'll be talking about that and other things. We've got a very special guest that we're going to introduce right after our brief monologue. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we'd love to have your dialogue and discussion on the issues as we speak of them today. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. In fact, in Proverbs 29 and verse 2, the scripture says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. In Proverbs 14:34, the scripture says this, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, that we have more and more evidence of those that are in charge today are not looking out for the well-being of we the people, not looking out for the well-being of the United States of America, not looking out for the well-being and the rights, religious liberties and free speech rights of the citizens in our nation today. It's a very serious problem. We're going to deal with some of the issues and peripherals surrounding that in this broadcast today. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I called it the Truth Book, John 8:31 and 32. the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made this statement: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That is the only thing that we can count on, ladies and gentlemen, and between now and eternity, is the fact that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, is truth. Everything outside of that, we have the authority to question and challenge, in my most humble opinion. But truth is something that's not sought today. Truth is something that's discarded and dismissed and rejected today. In fact, George Orwell, the secularist, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be very, very clear and very truthful today. This is the reason I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, I call on you each and every day, our listening audience, do that very thing, to seek the truth. You'll not find truth on the Communist Network News. You'll not find truth on MSNBC and the other Communist networks, ladies and gentlemen. You will not listen to truth if you're listening to that avenue and that approach for finding news today. But we need to listen for the truth, learn the truth, love it. And that comes from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It, according to Psalms 119, verse 105, should be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our pathway each and every day. I challenge you to do that, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment leadership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right, found at the very intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flying 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, and the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly environment to work in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of its staff to be off, to be in the house of God, worshiping with the people of God as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does as far as placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, millions of Americans, including your host today, still believe that the 2020 election was fraudulently stolen by the Biden cabal and the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party. The battleground states, ladies and gentlemen, have had election supervisors and some of the elected personnel that made decisions about the election process that contradicted and were overriding the state laws in those battleground states. Controlling the election factors, ladies and gentlemen, some of the supervisors of elections in some of those states made some decisions that were contradictory, set up rules and regulations that they did not have permission, authorization, nor legal authority to do so. And then when it came to ballot harvesting and illegal votes being counted, ladies and gentlemen, we have discovered that the 2020 election was in fact stolen. In fact, if you've never watched it, I commend to you the movie called 2,000 Mules. 2,000 Mules. That movie proves the facts that the 2020 election was stolen by the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party, better known as the Democrats. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we are in an election cycle this year and the primaries, 2022, and then all of the 2023 and 2024 calendar year will be invested in the 2024 presidential election and other major election seats at that time. So we're in an election cycle. And let's be very, very clear, as some of the politicians use it. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 makes it very, very pointed and a poignant statement. I call it God's election guide because in that text, ladies and gentlemen, it points out very clearly what God requires and what God's program for the election happens to be. The scripture says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place them over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over the fifties, and rulers over tens." Ladies and gentlemen, in that brief verse in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, it sets forth the clear guide, able men. That means those that have capability, those that are competent, those that have the knowledge and ability and wisdom from God to carry out the task that they're being elected to. Men such as fear God. That means to have reverence for God, respect for God, recognizing God's authority and power. Men of truth, the scripture says, means having a reputation that's reliable. They're known to be honest men, men that can be trusted in carrying out the leadership role in the oversight of cities and counties and states and the nation. And then it says hating covetousness. That speaks of the motive for serving, the motive for serving. Our forefathers would serve without pay just to be serving our nation. It means not grasping, not greedy, not seeking office to enrich themselves or to increase their wealth from the vote of going into the office. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that we have men available today that meet the criteria and the characteristics that's laid out in that scripture in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today, and I'm delighted to introduce him, or reintroduce him, a friend, a Christian brother, a conservative, a Republican, former District 1 representative of the state of Florida out of Pensacola, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is the candidate for being elected this election cycle for District 1 in the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, thank you for taking time out of a busy schedule, running a business, running a campaign. I just understand the minutiae that you need to go through each day of jumping through the hoops of the time schedule to make everything happen. But I'm thankful that you've taken time to be with us today. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for having me. And I'll tell you what, without having a good team around me, there's no way it can get done. Both at my State Farm Insurance office and also with my campaign team, have a great group of people who help me keep up with the details of each day.
That's what it takes, is that team that has the same vision, the same recognition of the importance of what you're doing, and I'm thankful for that. Congressman Hill, let me do a little further digging on some things that perhaps you are aware of, and then we will open Pandora's box and talk about them. I'm looking at an article that says, exclusive, Florida Supervisor of Elections issues COVID-19 voting procedures that appear to challenge the Florida law. This article is dated August the 4th, 2022. With less than a week to go before the official kickoff of Florida 2022 primary election cycle, documents obtained exclusively by Epoch Times exposes how one supervisor of election has repeatedly overstepped his authority to implement the Communist Chinese Party virus mandates and voting procedures that appear to challenge numerous Florida laws. It goes on to give the details. For example, in this massive article, it's about 6 or 8 pages, Congressman, let me just give a little overview of what the article states, that face masks and shields are required for all election personnel. Secondly, all election workers must complete a COVID background certification form verifying that they had been vaccinated for COVID and what vaccination they had, when they had the vaccination, and if they've had any effects from it. Thirdly, the applicants are required to identify the type of vaccine that they've received and the dates of the vaccine. Fourth, all voters must have the temperatures checked at the door, or if they refuse to comply, they cannot vote as normal. They've got to go through a side door, a special process that is elongated and very difficult when you read the article. This article further states, a letter dated November the 4th, 2021, Paul Stamoulis, supervisor of elections for Florida Charlotte County, informed all applicants interested in serving the poll as poll workers that they were required to complete an enclosed certification form verifying that they had been inoculated for the COVID-19 virus. Applicants were told that they had to identify the type of vaccine that they received, the dates of the vaccine that was administered, and signing the form. Applicants were also acknowledging that they understood that they would be required to wear a mask or a face shield covering their nose and their mouth at all times. Applicants could not comply with the new policy for whatever reason, were told that they were ineligible for the 2022 election. And it goes on with the details of how that's taken place. Congressman, I reckon my question in summary would simply be, do you see that as a problem? Is that something that you think would be recognized as a problem across the state? Is it simply in the counties like Charlotte County down at Point Gorda and Charlotte County area? What are your thoughts on that? What should voters do in looking to go to the polls and vote this election cycle?
Well, I know, Dr. Youngblood, the situation described in that article, I don't believe is widespread. It could be in other parts of the state. I know it is not in Escambia County, where I'm from, or Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, or Walton County. I can even go as far as Bay County. So I'm pretty confident it's not happening there. But this supervisor of election in Charlotte County is completely out of line. He is going against state law. He is behaving as if he can enact his own laws, his own rules, and he does not have the authority for that. I believe that our governor should make sure that those requirements that were put in place are completely rescinded immediately. And if they are not, then he should remove that supervisor of elections from office and appoint someone else to take his place during this very critical time. Early voting has already started. Ballots have been mailed out. And so they're coming back in and being secured. And so, then actual voting starts as early as the 11th of August in some counties. And so the governor needs to move on this very quickly and remove this person from office or rescind those orders so that they are not in place. It is completely illegal what he is trying to do.
One of the things that concerns me with this, Congressman Hill, is the fact that it is this close to the date of election, and the notices have gone out, news has gone out. This, I believe, will be a tool that will be used for voter suppression. If that voter thinks he's going to get the door to be examined, i.e. with a thermometer to determine his temperature to be challenged, I think that's a good tool for suppression of a vote. And as you have said, I believe that the governor needs to step in immediately. But even if the governor steps in, makes the necessary changes, I believe it's still going to have a negative effect on the voters' enthusiasm to go to the polls and vote, especially in that county. I don't know how many other counties may have that. It's not been uncovered at this point. But you've seen the movie 2,000 Mules. Do you believe that the 2,000 Mules movie validates what you and I and others have said, that the 2020 election was stolen?
Dr. Youngblood, that movie, 2,000 Mules, documented with indisputable evidence that there was widespread election fraud in this last, in the 2020 election. It was stolen from President Trump. I believe he won in a landslide.
Yes.
And they knew that was happening, and that is why they stopped counting in all of the states, the swing states. They stopped counting ballots at very early morning hours when Biden was behind and continuing to be behind. And then all of a sudden, when they picked back up again, there was this surge and Biden was in a lead. Something very fishy was happening, and now it's been documented, not only with that movie 2,000 Mules, but audits that had been performed in Arizona and in Pennsylvania and in Michigan and in New Mexico. Audits were performed which showed that there was widespread election fraud. And what we are hoping to make sure would not happen is that we have a repeat of that in 2022. And so I belong to a group called Defend Florida, which specifically canvassed all 67 counties to make sure that we were going to have more secure elections, primarily by getting those who want to vote by mail and cleaning up our voting rolls. And they found irregularities in all 67 counties. Some supervisor of elections were grateful to receive the information that was provided and wanted to make corrections. Other counties resisted and would not even provide the group Defend Florida with their public records request. So we do have, even though Florida elections were better than most states, it still has a lot of work to do. Governor DeSantis signed into law earlier this year a bill that I sponsored back in 2020 to stop ballot harvesting. And what ballot harvesting is when one individual goes around and collects many ballots for others, either at churches or in neighborhoods or in nursing homes, and then takes them to these drop boxes and places them in there. We saw that in the movie 2,000 Mules. Governor DeSantis outlawed that practice in Florida. You can only take your ballot and a significant other, such as a spouse, and that is it. And you just can't take it to a drop box at any location. It has to be at a supervisor of elections office or some other location where it is being monitored, not just these boxes that are sitting on a corner somewhere. So even though Florida has taken steps to be more secure, there are more things that can be done, such as cleaning up our voting rolls.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, let's do this at this juncture. We've gotten our start with where we want to go, but I believe it's good because we might have listeners that's tuned in today that's not heard you before. Let me ask you to take a minute, reintroduce yourself to our audience, something about yourself, your background, and then what I'd like for you to say, share with our listeners, your passion for running. Why did you determine to get in the race? What are the interests, things that interest you most that you want to accomplish as we put you back in the Florida House? And I want our listeners to know, ladies and gentlemen, we're praying for Mike Hill that God will give victory on Election Day and put him back in the Florida House representing us. That's my position. I pray that it would be yours. But Mike, I want you to take a moment and share that information with our listeners today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I am currently a business owner of a financial services and insurance agency. I've been doing that for 32 years now. Previous to that, I was in the Air Force. After 10 years, I left as a captain before graduating from the Air Force Academy. I first got into office in 2013 in a special election and was subsequently reelected in 2014. I took a break in 2016, came back in 2018, and won that seat. Then in 2020, the local establishment primaried me and I lost a close race. But just recently, I decided to get back in the fray. And I tell you and your listeners how that happened, Dr. Youngblood. I was at a conference in McLean, Virginia, sitting in the audience, and there was a panel up on the stage. One of the panelists said, if God has given you the tools and the abilities, and there is a task that has been placed before you, you must accept that responsibility.
Amen.
And when I heard that, Dr. Youngblood, I knew I received my assignment to run for office again, because the tasks before us are grave and must be addressed.
Yes.
And the ones that immediately came to mind for me, the task, was to pass the Life at Conception Act. We must abolish abortion in Florida, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
I want to fight Bidenflation. We can do that by lowering taxes. We are seeing that the gas prices and grocery prices are at historic levels. And so we lower taxes and we reduce government spending. That leaves more money in our constituents' pockets to help fight this Biden inflation. I want to secure election integrity. That's how you started the whole show, Dr. Youngblood. Floridians are tired of the excuses and half measures and inaction of our elected officials. We need to secure our elections and faith in our republic. And another task, I know we must pass constitutional carry. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed, and we should not have to pay the state to obtain a license and go through all the steps that are required just to secure our Second Amendment rights. And the Second Amendment itself only codifies what God has given to us as an inalienable right, the right to be able to defend ourselves, our family, and our property. So I want to pass constitutional carry in Florida. And those are the things I'm working on, Dr. Youngblood. And if someone wants to help with the campaign or learn more about me, they can go to MikeHillForFlorida.com. That's MikeHill, F-O-R, Florida.com.
And to our listeners, let me urge you to do so. Mike needs our prayers. He needs our participation. And he needs our funds. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to go to MikeHillForFlorida.com. Go to the donation area and place a donation. Let me tell you why, ladies and gentlemen. Even though he's running in for Florida House District 1, when he's elected and takes the seat, regardless of the designation of the district, he represents we the people in the state of Florida. And so I advocate for a congressperson or an individual that's going back into Congress and the House that we need to understand they represent all of Floridians. Therefore, it's all of our responsibility before God to put the right people in office that's going to represent us, that love the Lord, that's doing it based on the authority of the Word of God and the authority of our Constitution. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you to do that today. Congressman Hill, we've got about a minute before our top of the news break, but I'm looking at an article that's frightening. It says a Pennsylvania woman is arrested at a doctor's office because she declined to care because of declined care, and she was declined care because of the refusal to wear a face mask, dated August the 2nd. I'll read a blurb of that, and then we'll talk about it briefly and come back with this after the news. Ryan Barton, 62 years old, expected her first visit to the doctor in months, and it would end in her being arrested and booked and hauled down to City Hall for the booking. She did not see her doctor that day, of course, and it goes on to tell why. She's from Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. Refusing to wear a mask gets you arrested, booked, fingerprinted, and a threat of being put in jail overnight. Congressman, hold on for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.